Shalom and God bless America. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. And we're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to skip the news because there's an important subject that we feel we need to cover. And we believe in God's Word because, contrary to all other religious writings, God's Word contains thousands of prophecies, and most already fulfilled, proving only God could have dictated it. Keep that in mind as we delve into this deep topic. And you're in for quite a ride. Be sure your Bible is open and be ready to take some notes. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray in the name of Yeshua. Abba, we just ask you to send protection to us and our listeners tonight as we do this program. Have angels guard us, camp around us. We're going into the enemy's camp tonight. Help us to use what we've learned and what we will learn tonight responsibly and for your kingdom. And bless everyone that's listening to this show tonight with a new understanding and a new fire to witness for you. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. Well, you're right, John. We do have quite a program, and I have to tell you, so many yucky things have happened to me today that I almost wasn't even able to come. So you know it's a topic that the enemy doesn't want us to talk about. But I want to assure people that we have power over the enemy. And that's what really this program is about, is to reinforce that so that when you see these ugly things, you'll know what to do about it. And when somebody that maybe isn't saved is having experiences, they can feel free to talk with you because you can show them the truth and the way and show them how to counteract anything that comes along. Because it's, evil is getting worse, and we can't just keep hiding from it.
That's right.
You know?
Well, I do believe that a lot of us do have our, when it comes to this, have our heads in the sand.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Some more deeper than others. And
oh, yes. And I'm already getting a few emails about staying away from the topic, but I can't. I feel led to, and I have to listen to the Lord. But we've got some pretty irrefutable evidence, again, that the Bible is truth, but especially in the Genesis 6 area, and that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. And we've kind of touched on this from time to time when we did the study of Jude, but never quite to the extent that we're going to be talking about some things tonight.
Jude and Enoch, I might add, when we were doing.
We were doing some of that as well. Well, the two go together, of course.
Right.
And I don't know why God has been pulling me into this. You know, I like to go deep, and I do study hard. So maybe he knew that I would dig deep into it and get, you know, good answers. And not just, you know, goofy ones. Because it could be goofy, too.
Could be.
Yeah. But Genesis describes some angels that rebelled. They came to Earth. And they bore, now in the regular Bibles it says children, but in the original it just says, and they bore. And, of course, they did this with human women. And we do have proof, not just by the oral tradition, but what I think is very credible sources. And that's important. You know, credibility is very important in these days. We also have found bones, and they're gigantic, long bones that people say has to be from a giant. Some quite by accident, others looking for them under like large mounds of dirt found all over the world and excavated. Apparently when these giants were buried, they would actually be buried just like almost on the ground with not very much inside, but then they had these mounds built on top of them.
Now, that is, we have mounds like that in Ohio.
We do. In fact, I have a book that I have in my possession that talks about the mounds in Newark, Ohio. So, and we'll be touching on that again, too. But some people say, well, these long bones can be fake. And I agree. It could very well be. But when you get to some of the other things, like these skulls that we're going to talk about, Now that's a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, we've got some real solid evidence that they're anything but normal or human. And that's our topic. And we'll be talking about this for probably the next couple weeks.
And this will be what? Descendants of the Nephilim?
Yeah.
Would that be a good thing to call?
We're
going to
be talking about the Nephilim, the descendants of the Nephilim, yeah.
And some of the evidence that's here on this earth that happened.
That's right.
And it's kind of spooky, right?
Especially if you're not sanctified.
Yes. Yes, and if you're not, and this could be disturbing to you, if you're listening and this is the first time you're hearing this information, or you just might think that we're not credible and it's all a big joke.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine, too.
And that's fine, too.
Because this is not to try to convince people. I just want to show you that there is some possibilities that not only have we been visited, but according to Jesus, we could be visited again.
That's right.
So that's what we're going to kind of talk about. But the main thing is that I just want people to know that as a Christian, as born again Christian, we have power over all this junk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and again, that's why the last 2 weeks, we talked about the importance of being sanctified, not just justified. And if you haven't heard those last two programs, you might want to go to our archives and listen to them, because it's very, very important to be totally sanctified, especially if you're going to delve into the deeper matters. You need to be a strong, mature Christian.
That's right.
So you have no fears when you discuss it.
Can I read you a verse that I like to use for this?
You may.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right,
but of power.
Dunamis.
That means like dynamite. And of love. And of a sound mind.
Sound mind. Well, do you remember where that was?
Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's one of my favorite scriptures.
Okay, great. And you know what? In a way, that's a pretty great litmus test. If you have any fear or deep fear, you most likely are not sanctified, which means you are not adequately studying the Word. I'm just going to say it like it is.
You mean really understanding what you read.
Right. How many times do people read and they don't even know what they read?
I know.
So
happens to me. Happens to me. Slow down.
But again, we covered that in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And we probably will again, because that is really Christianity 101, we call it. So let's move on. I'm really excited to see what you have to say, and I know you've been putting a lot of time into this topic, and the reason I know this, I live across the street from you, and I'll peep in on your office, and I see your lights on. I'll peep in on your office, and I see your lights on, and I know you don't answer your phone, and I see that office light on. You're working overtime.
That's right.
And I know you're very diligent. So
I try. I try because I just, I want to get it right.
Yeah. So I know this thing's really got your attention. Let me remind you, listeners, that the phone lines are open for your question on tonight's topic. Make sure it's just one question. And the number is 888-677-WORD. And if you don't want to be on the air, when you call in, just give your question or comment to Derek, our producer, and he'll be happy to give it right to us. Remember, all these programs are archived on shofarministries.net.
Okay, now the first important fact to establish is that, did it really happen? Okay?
Okay.
Now, one of my mentors in this more recent venture, and by the way, there have been quite a few. I don't want you to think I only have one. It's people like Doug Hamp, Russ Dizdar, Chuck Misler, Gary Stearman, Hal Lindsey, but mostly in this area of study has been L.A. Marzulli, and he's written numerous books on this topic and given many lectures. You can just Google him. You can put his name in on YouTube. You'll come up with some of his lectures, and you'll just find a wealth of information on this, and I've been reading quite a bit lately. And, of course, he also has a series on DVDs called The Watchers. You might have heard about it. He also appears on Prophecy in the News quite often and the Sid Roth program, and numerous radio talk shows quite often.
Yes, and I've seen some of his work, and I like his style.
Yes.
And I've heard him on a guest on some very, very big radio programs.
Yes. And again, he says exactly what I feel, too. Mm-hmm. If this isn't for you, fine. You don't have to call up and yell at me and tell me I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. For those of you that are wanting some answers, maybe I have them for you.
Yeah.
And if not, that's okay, too.
That's good.
Okay?
Okay.
So I want to try to summarize the important parts, basically just to save you hundreds of hours. Again, been doing my homework.
I know. It's a full-time job. And I know I happen as I appreciate your conclusions because I know what kind of work it takes to get to them. And sharing what you have come to believe, we all know that you do your homework, and we appreciate this.
Well, I thank you. Yeah. Okay, there was a great, possibly global civilization by the time of Noah.
And we said maybe 7 billion, I think, when we studied the Book of Jude.
I think we did. Mm-hmm. I think that was the number that I found.
That's
a lot.
That's a lot, and that's very close to what the Earth population is right now.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And 7 is a pretty important number, you know.
Hmm.
But anyway, let's go on. Anyhow, first of all, let's start out with some of the findings. There's these megalithic stone structures, and each stone weighs in the area of 120 tons or more, and they're still standing today in various places from all over the world, like pyramids in Egypt, India. There's stone, big stone things in Cambodia and Greece, Middle East, America, and many even in different cities, but in the same country, like in Peru.
Mm-hmm. Large stone structures,
mm-hmm.
pyramids and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Huge, yes.
In my opinion, regular human beings could not have erected these enormous monuments with such precision and remarkably tight-fitting stones together with no gaps in between, and they don't use mortar.
And when they're the age of these things, there's no known tool they had back then that could have done this. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
And I'm looking at a picture right now, and there isn't even any mortar in between these stones. They're dovetailed. In other words, they're interlocking. And you know what? You'll be showing these kind of pictures this Friday.
That's Jessica. Right. I have pictures.
Yep. Chester mm-hmm. Christian Center. You're going to put them on the overhead.
I am.
You
I
know
am.
What that is. We get everyone can get a look at
it. You.
Yep. And that's Chester Christian Center. And you can give them the address. So we can do that later. But
sure,
that's
we can.
Friday at 7 p.m. Okay?
That's right. Now, what is also very interesting, and God kind of knew that we would need this next discovery to support the fact of these very large tall-legged beings,
mm-hmm.
Which people call giants, of course, and the minimum is like 10 feet tall, but mm-hmm. especially in the ancient times, could have been easily 30 feet. Because in Amos, it talks about, and I think we quoted that a few weeks ago, Amos talks about how they were as tall as cedars.
Yeah, and cedars are pretty darn tall. Okay, so there were some big people at one time, and perhaps they did erect these megalithic stone structures. How does that prove, though, that they were not human?
What a great question, and I knew you would ask. But here's where it gets really amazing. They have been discovering, for a long time, hundreds of not just very large skulls, but non-human skulls.
Now, would you care to tell me how you know they're non-human skulls?
Well, John, you know that I know my skulls.
You're a phrenologist, right?
Well, I did go to radiology college for
That's right. mm-hmm.
and worked in the medical field, for like 45 years. I hate to say that, but it's true.
And you were an x-ray tech, weren't you?
Yes, I was an x-ray tech and also ended up teaching the anatomy class and a few other radiation physics and things like that. So I kind of know a little bit about that.
I remember those days when you did that.
And I can tell you that there are suture-like divisions on all skulls, even gorillas. You can't blame it on a gorilla. All human skulls have at least 3 sets of sutures. They have it in the front, they have it in the back, and they have it down the middle, separating the 2 sides. Now, they have even more if you want to include the sides, like the temporal sutures and stuff, but we won't need to go there.
Can you just elaborate, though? What? Give me another word for suture. It's like a little...
It's
a crack, isn't it? Or?
Yeah, it kind of looks like little sutures, like where the bones meet.
Oh, it's where the bones meet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Like when they're baby, they're separated even more, and that's where you have that soft spot on the top of the head.
So our skulls are made up of... a separate plate.
That's right.
And these sutures are where the plates are attached.
That's right. And we have one in the, like in the front above mm-hmm. the forehead, one going down the middle to separate the sides, and then also in the back.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's the trait of a human skull.
That's right. And I have taken many x-rays of skulls, so I know this. So, but the skulls now that they've been finding are not just elongated, looks like cone heads.
Mm-hmm.
but they only have one line of sutures across the frontal.
Yeah.
Nothing down the middle,
mm-hmm.
on the top of the skull, or in the back of the head. Now, all scientists agree it is something other than 100% human. Now, these large beings were also worshipped as gods.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when a mother would have a son, oftentimes they would wrap the head so tight to make it protrude up like a cone shape.
The Incas, I believe, did this in Peru.
Okay, mm-hmm.
What we call Peru now. Mm-hmm.
Because they were so infatuated with these giants.
They wanted to look like them.
Exactly.
And it was a mark of beauty. And you can form an infant skull by just like you can make, as long as the body's growing, you can sort of force it to grow in the way you want it to grow.
But they were mostly human. They had all the sutures.
Uh-huh.
But these big giants do not. They only have the
one
and
sutures.
That's how you know.
And that's how you know they're not human.
Yeah.
And just like the mega monolithic stones, now are these skulls found all over the world as well or just in Peru?
No. There is even evidence, yes, they're all over the world, but even evidence, as we said, in Newark, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a whole book written about it, and it's called The Nephilim Chronicles.
Interesting.
Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley.
Fritz Zimmerman.
Fritz Zimmerman is his name, if you're interested to go visit there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd like to take a look at that.
Would you?
Yeah.
You're braver than I am. No, I would like to.
But they have these mounds.
Yeah.
Okay, these huge mounds.
So, now this is, Newark's a famous city because of this now. Now, how can one see these skulls other than in books and DVDs?
Well, you'll have to go to Peru.
Oh, okay. All right. Peru,
Since our government has really never wanted much of this to come out,
mm-hmm.
for a lot of different reasons. Money is probably one of them because they have a lot of money invested in evolution, or maybe they just thought mass hysteria of people knew this. I don't know what their reasoning is.
Well, it does put a big chink in the theory of evolution.
It does.
And that would spell economic disaster to a lot of evil works.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was all given to the Smithsonian Museum, and that would be okay if it was the Smithsonian in America.
Oh.
No, they shipped it all to their Smithsonian in Peru.
Oh.
And some of it is kept behind closed doors. So pictures is all we have. L.A. Marzulli actually took a guy with him there, mm-hmm. and he was, I don't know, God just showed him favor with them.
Yeah.
He got in and took some great pictures, even behind the closed doors. And it's all in a huge, beautiful book called On the Trail of the Nephilim, with big pictures and everything, which, by the way, I scanned and put in for my overheads on Friday night.
Well, you know, you want to go to Peru?
If you're buying, I'm flying.
Any takers? Hey, who has some
frequent
flying miles that they want to get rid of?
Give me a call.
We'll give you a full report when we come back.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
And I do have a friend that his family's from Peru. And,
there you go.
And he lives in New Jersey, works at a gas station. And he goes back and forth there all the time. I wish when I knew him back then, I should have asked him about this.
I think maybe we should call him. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, So now what do we gather so far from this information? Let's read Genesis 6:4 to kind of start putting this together. Can you read that for us, Pat?
Here we go. The Nephilim, fallen ones, were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore to them, they were heroes who existed from ancient, that word is Olam, ancient time, men of name.
Famous, that means.
Yes.
And this is the original Masoretic text.
Mm-hmm.
And Olam, which is what we said here, can mean eternity,
mm-hmm.
which would be before Adam. Okay, now that Hebrew word Olam is very important, and I actually wrote down another scripture to show you where Olam is used when describing God's throne, and it's in Psalm 93, verse 2. It says, "Thy throne established of old, thou art from Olam, everlasting."
Huh.
So talking about God, so it's the same word. So basically what we're seeing here is that these fallen ones were on the earth, but they were created before Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So it just adds a little more.
You got to remember when you read that verse in some of your translations, we'll put commas where they feel the comma needs to be, and when actually in the Masoretic text there is no comma, and that leaves a lot open for the translator and the publisher to put their own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you could get two people telling you a different meaning, but we'll get on into that. But definitely this is very clear.
Okay. So anyway, we have these angels that rebelled mostly because they desired worship, so wanted to make a race for themselves by defiling the human race. They wanted to make their own hybrids, is what I call them,
mm-hmm.
in their own likeness.
Yeah, like God made us in His,
that's
in His
right.
likeness.
So they wanted to be worshipped, and basically they have been.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, if Satan could have pulled it off during Noah's day that defiled everything, then Genesis 3:15 could never have been fulfilled.
And that was the promise of Messiah, and that is exactly what Satan was trying to thwart.
That's right. And you know what? We're going to take a little quick break. It is the week of 4th of July.
Well, okay.
And I think our song is quite fitting. And give me a chance to take a little drink of water, and then when we come back, we're going to continue with our discussion and get even deeper.
Okay, before we go, though, I want to remind you, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and all your donations are tax-deductible and really vital to this last day's ministry. If you are being blessed, please send us a love offering of any amount. Don't forget about Friday, July 5th, 7 p.m., Chester Christian Center. If you want to donate, just click where it says Partner with Us on the right side of our webpage, or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well. And be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, as well as CD and DVD teachings. The lines are now open. The number for your end time question or your question about tonight's subject is 888-677-WORD. That's 9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by Sandy Patty for the 4th of July. Wow.
What a voice, huh?
Sandy Patty doing God Bless America, Irving Berlin song.
We sure need God to bless America.
We sure do. We need more Sandy Patties and Irving Berlins, I think. Right?
There you go.
Welcome back to the show for our Ministries Hour. That was a great song. Lines are open. The number 677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. I have that 888 in there. Just a reminder, so for our Ministries Hour, that right here, every Tuesday at 8 p.m., just join us. Please. You won't regret it. If you want to be on our newsletter or mailing list, just send your request to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just do it the regular postal way. Send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, and if possible, tuck in a love offering to help with expenses. Or you can just call the office and leave a detailed message. The number there is 440-834-9006, and we're talking about this subject, and we have pictures to back it up. And if you want to see some of these really eye-popping pictures, join us this Friday. That's July 5th, the day after 4th of July, 7 p.m., at Chester Christian Center. That's on 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. It's close to 271. It's close to Mayfield Road, and it's not too far from 90. So come and join us there. Once we'll have worship music, and we'll be talking about this subject tonight, the Nephilim.
And also, if you're coming from afar, there's hotels not too far away in Mitter.
Yeah, there you go. So just come on out and join us.
That's right. I think we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to take that person before we say it again.
Oh, it's Fran.
It's Fran. Okay. All right, let's do that. Fran, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Interesting what's going on with Israel, with Terry, traveling to Israel, what's going on over there.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that a lot next week, but yes, he is thinking in his prideful manner that, or at least he thought that he could get them to sit down and talk, because at first, Abbas, you know, the president of the PA said that, oh, okay, we'll sit down without any pre-existing conditions. And then the next day on Sunday, he decided, no, I don't think that's the case. So then Kerry was all excited and started telling people that he finally got made headway and then was shot down, and so he left with egg on his face pretty much. But he's not giving up. But it's just amazing how, you know, I've been watching through the years all these different leaders from America especially that think that they're going to be the ones that are going to be able to do it. And, of course, we all know that it's only going to be one person, and I think his initials are AC, and that he'll be destroyed by JC 7 years later.
Did you get that one, Fran? AC destroyed by JC.
Where do you think the Antichrist is going to come from? What country?
Well,
that's a good question.
I still believe in Daniel 9:27 that it'll be from the same area that destroyed the temple in 70 A.D., but I think you'll have demonic powers as well, real heavy demonic powers. And we'll probably be talking certainly touch on it mm-hmm. over the next few weeks, because we're going to be talking about aliens and things like that, and the lie that is starting to be perpetrated to the people.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and thanks for calling. It's nice to know someone's listening.
Thanks for listening, Fran.
Sure.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. We forgot to ask where she was calling from. Oh, well.
Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
A Clevelander.
Another Clevelander. Gotta love him.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into finishing up here.
Okay. Where did we leave off?
Well, I know that I was going to talk a little bit about Enoch.
Oh, yes.
And again, he's just he's a commentary. I don't take it as gospel, because you don't have to send me your letters and tell me that, you know. Blah, blah, blah.
You can listen to the previous shows where they're archived, and you can.
But he's a great commentary on what's happening, and it's just like Josephus and that. So I will quote from him once in a while.
And you know what? It's probably. The Book of Enoch is probably the oldest book on the face of the earth.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He was our first scribe.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. But that's
a whole different.
Yeah.
That's a whole show.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, he says that some of these fallen angels even mated with animals. And we see in mythology where these beings were worshipped as well, which is exactly what the fallen angels wanted.
Yeah. And if you think of it, half horse, half man deity.
Absolutely.
I can't remember the name.
All these people be, you know, nuts and drew lithographs and all that stuff all the time.
Oh, they carved the representations of these beings into rock. Now, why would they go through all that trouble if they didn't exist?
They saw something. Yeah.
And what about the dinosaurs? Do you think they might have been a mix of fallen angels and large animals, say, in Noah's day? And then the flood destroyed them? And, you know, the bones, we keep finding the bones of, we think.
Yeah, we know they existed.
We know they existed.
Yes. I think it's very possible.
And maybe they weren't the clean beasts, and he didn't take them.
Well, absolutely.
And that would make them
unclean. He wouldn't have taken them. He's not going to take the people. He's not going to take the animals.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe those animals were defiled by the fallen race of angels.
Sure. Hmm. Could be.
Wow.
But most scholars now agree that the spirits of the Nephilim, who drowned in the flood, still roam the earth, and they're called disembodied spirits who like to dwell in people.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Jesus cast many of them out, and especially the demoniac, many of them into the swine.
Yeah, and the swine ran out. And of course, this was a huge part of Jesus' ministry, was casting out these spirits, demons.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
And he delivered many people from them.
Yeah, so it's kind of like important to know.
I think it is, because through our Lord it was very important. As a matter of fact, wherever he showed up, it seemed like there were these spirits that showed up too.
Good point.
So,
but anyway, as we've already read in Genesis 6:4, it says they were on the earth, but also after that. So what does that say?
So that says God said it would occur again.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why there were giants in Canaan, mm-hmm, and other areas where Goliath was.
Mm-hmm.
The king Og of Bashan, mm-hmm, was a giant. And by the way, this is just a little tidbit. In Deuteronomy 3:11, it does say that Og's line was not completely destroyed.
So that could still exist today, in other words.
Well, that seed could have kept going, and eventually they're not giants anymore, but mm-hmm, they could still be wicked.
That's right.
You know? But there was others in the Bible called the Anakim, the Raphim, Hittites, Emim, Parasites, Zazumims.
Did you say Parasites?
They are Parasites.
And the Zamzamims, I think, were offspring of the Rephaim. And we're all talking about offspring of fallen angels here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these races.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they've continued to try to defile the race.
Absolutely.
Continued with that.
And that wicked seed could still be around today, which is why maybe some people are doing the things that they're doing. I mean, have you ever seen anybody just wake up on a Monday morning and decide to go eat the face off of somebody?
Or shoot up everybody that, you know, in a theater for no reason. I know, it's very.
And did you see the pictures of the rebels that we happen to be giving arms to?
Well, yeah.
Against Syria? That after they kill their soldiers, they actually take the organs out of the body and eat them, mm-hmm, and they're being recorded, and they know it.
Yeah, they're doing this on YouTube.
Now that's totally wicked. Okay, but anyway.
If not just awful. Somewhat amazes me that we call ourselves Pentecostal. I want to, mm-hmm, get this point out. And we believe in the supernatural,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. We believe in the Spirit of God and everything else. Yet we block this fallen angel theory. And even though we should take the Bible literally.
Yes, and we really should. But case in point. Around the 5th century and through the Dark Ages, and still taught in seminaries today, that the sons of God were not angels, even though Job clearly teaches that they were.
Mm-hmm.
But rather they say, oh no, the sons of God are the descendants of Seth who married the daughters of Cain.
And this is reading into the text what is obviously not there.
It's not there. And at no time does Scripture say, before the flood or after, that God destroyed or threatened to destroy the human race for the sin of mixed marriages. But rather, a corrupted line, according to Genesis 6:9. It is impossible to reconcile this extreme punishment with the mere verbal strictures.
Or restrictions.
Restrictions, strictures, found elsewhere in the Bible for the same practice.
Yeah, and if God is going to be consistent, he should have destroyed the whole human race many times over for intermarriage.
Of course. There was something much more sinister going on here.
Absolutely.
And then should one then assume that only the sons of Seth were godly and only the daughters of Cain were evil? The strangeness is compounded when one seeks for evidence that the sons of Seth were all godly. We know from Genesis that from the time that God came to or wanted to destroy the human race, that he found only one godly family left among them, and that of Noah.
Mm-hmm. Now, right, well, where are all the other supposedly godly sons of Seth then?
Right. Even Seth's own son could hardly be righteous. Or
yeah.
be called righteous. I think that was Enos, and even his name meant
yeah, where are these godly
mortal
sons
or frail.
That's a very good point.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Seth had many children, and so did his sons, and yet God said all flesh had corrupted his way before or upon the earth. Genesis 6:12.
Mm.
So now, in the Old Testament, the designation called sons of God or B'nai Elohim is never used of humans, only direct creations, like Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they are all supernatural beings, angels.
Mm-hmm.
So the term sons of God applies to both good and bad angels.
Now that's the first covenant, but it's not until the New Testament that we, being reborn, have been supernaturally birthed, and now we're called the sons of God.
We
okay?
are.
But it's a supernatural
yes.
birth, and it's only us.
And it's only us.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Anybody can be.
And, of course, Paul says we're a new creation.
That's right.
In Christ. So, you know, spiritually speaking, we are.
Well, and then you have Job.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that are taking notes, write down Job 1:6-1 and 38:4-7. And I'm going to actually comment on the 38:4-7 because I think that's the most obvious.
Mm.
But God asked Job, where was he when he laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So he's saying the sons of God were with him when he laid the foundations of the earth.
Hmm. So the sons of God were present when he created it all.
Yeah. Hello. That's not Seth.
No, that's not.
So that leads us to why Jesus would say, now I'm doing all this because people say, well, why are you doing all this?
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus made reference to it. And since I'm a follower of Jesus, I read what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in Luke 17:26 and other places, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, he didn't say, as in the days of Noah, except the Nephilim. That was the big part, and that's why it was the flood even came.
Mm-hmm. That was the main reason the
yes.
flood came.
And so something, he's trying to give us a clue here.
And a very big clue, I think.
I think so, too.
Now, remember, these sons of fallen angels, these sons of God originally, mm-hmm. they're highly intelligent beings.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that we really need to keep in mind. They
mm-hmm.
are extremely intelligent. In
oh,
fact,
yeah.
Enoch even made a comment about how the fallen angels are the ones that taught man on the earth how to do things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're still doing that.
I think they are. I think they are. And we'll cover that in another
yeah,
show.
Yeah, we will cover it in another
mm-hmm.
show, but we've been coming up with some pretty knowledgeable things.
Yes.
So
there's some, I'd say, intelligent conclusions.
But again, that's for, you know, a week or so.
Yep.
Anyway, there are some very credible researchers that have many files collected over many years of these, just these things. And
mm-hmm.
before we do that, we have another caller. And it's Kevin. And we want to say, hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Where are you from, Kevin?
East Lake.
Oh, hi.
Hey, I was just, I think Scripture is kind of clear that angels are spiritual beings and unable to procreate.
How is that clear?
Well, Jesus says, you know, you'll be like angels in heaven. You know, you won't have need of marriage
mm-hmm.
in heaven. But secondly, they're spiritual beings. They don't have bodies.
Well,
they can't procreate.
Well, who showed up with Abraham then when they came down and he called them, you know, angels?
So
they can't have bodies. And the other thing is there is no marrying in heaven. And for one thing, there's no female angels anyway. But in Genesis 3:15, it's very plain that Satan has offspring. He has a seed.
Well, I don't, those would be, you know, other fallen angels or people that end up going to hell.
How do you know that?
Because that would be his, he's your father.
Oh, you mean, you're talking at the spiritual side of it then?
Well, yes, you know, how do you know that that doesn't mean spiritual father?
Right, well, I suppose you could do that, but here's the one thing that I try to do, and it's one of my, requirements, is I always take the Bible literally first, and then you spiritualize it. And
yeah,
to me, when it says, it says.
Really, you don't take the Bible literally. You take it for its clear sense of what it means. If you took it literally, you would think that Jesus was literally the root of Jesse. And so you know that you're not to take that literally, so you don't.
Well, there are idioms and expressions. The
right.
root of Jesse would mean a descendant.
Right.
Well,
when you say you take something literally, I really don't know what that means. Because I take everything literally.
Well, that would mean everything except the idioms and expressions that we are familiar with.
Yeah, I know, but...
I understand what you're saying, Kevin.
You're
trying
to make a point that is lost on me, because you have to take stuff literally, what they meant, but not literally as, I'm going to take this literally.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just think that it's kind of presumptuous to say that you're taking the literal sense, but other people just don't seem to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we happen to have, again, this is what this show is all about, and also next week and the week after, we have a lot of evidence that there are non-human bones that they have found.
I just think that angels of Satan, if Satan was able to reproduce with human beings, we would have been done for. I don't think God allowed it.
Well, he didn't. That's why the flood came.
I know, but God wouldn't have allowed it to begin with.
Well, I don't know all that, because we're not God, and we only know a smidgen of what he does. Believe me, I learn every day more and more. And a year ago, I wouldn't have thought this either, but I've been doing my homework and doing a lot of research. But you know what, Kevin, I understand what you're saying, and that's fine, and that's why I said in the beginning of this program, you can think what you want. I just want to give you the evidence that I found. And then if you don't want to accept it, that's fine. That's okay.
Well, yeah, I know, but I would, prefer to know the truth and not just have them to be hazarding guesses all the time as to what I would like to believe.
Since this program has just begun, why don't you stay tuned for the next couple of weeks and call us, towards the end of the month, and then we'll see.
Yeah, okay, so I really am not all that interested in the topic that really has no...
Well, that's fine.
It has no bearing on this. I can't see spiritual planes, and so it really doesn't have any bearing on me, other than I know that they exist and that they're not my friends if they're fallen.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's really what I'm trying to convey as well, and what to do if you meet one.
Yes.
You know.
But if you met one, you might not know that it was one, because it might appear as an angel of light to you.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's what I tell you. That's why I don't even know how you could trust anything, really. Because it could be an angel of light. It could be Satan deceiving
you. Well, that's what we're going to be teaching on, how you're going to test the spirits. You have to test the spirits.
Yes.
And that's how, in fact, I'll just tell you real quick how to do that. You immediately say, in the name of Jesus, leave. And if they leave, then you know. If they stick around, then you know it's probably God, because that is the test. They cannot stand that name. They hate it. And that's how you do deliverance, too, on people that are... need to be delivered from demons, you use in the name of Jesus. So there's tests that you can do to know. You really, honestly, there is.
I would prefer not to have to deliver anybody anytime soon.
I understand.
It doesn't sound like the thing I want to do either.
No, it's not. But you know what? As a Christian, though, you do have the power over demons. And he said that evil will get worse in the end days. And that's what this ministry is all about. It's what to do, that we're living in this final generation, and evil is going to get worse. So you need to know how to have power over the enemy and what to do about it. And I'm just giving you some background of where it started.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is the devil, I think, man, because I've never run across a demon that I'm aware of, I think the devil manifests himself in opposing Christ, so he gives you gay marriage. He doesn't allow it, but he promulgates that type of thinking. I don't know that it's I'm going to be running into a demon anytime soon. That's, you know, a demon, a real fallen angel that is like, you know.
Right.
Kevin, if you ask, they if you ask your fellow coworkers, at least one out of ten of them will say they have run into some kind of a.
Right, and then you've got the UFOs, you've got the aliens that people are seeing, and I'm just trying to tell them what to do and if they should appear to someone, you know, and what to do about it, basically.
And there's a big lie out there, and we want to expose it.
We're trying to expose the big lie that they, see, I don't know if you believe in the rapture of the church. I don't know where you're at in that area, but as soon as the rapture happens and all the Christians are removed, the darkness will get even worse. And that's when the aliens will show up, that they're really demons, and they will say that we're from another planet and we've come here to rescue you, and you should be like us, and we want to show you how you can live forever. All you have to do is take this mark, and it's the thing that goes underneath the skin. And I'm just trying to tell people ahead of time to get saved, because then you don't have to put up with all that.
Yeah, and that's,
yeah, well, I believe Jesus is coming back because, you know, that's biblical. I'm not sure about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, happens. I think that we all need to be ready for Jesus to come individually at any given moment.
Yeah.
That's why we should always be ready.
Well, we are ready. If you're saved, you are ready at all times. I just want to let people know what's going to happen during the seven-year tribulation. It's going to be horrendous.
Yes, well, I imagine it will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like talking to you, Kevin. I hope you'll
okay.
call back.
Yeah.
Okay,
keep listening, Kevin. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye. That's a good call.
Yeah. Sounds like
a lot of questions, like I have.
That's right. Well, we've only had a few more minutes, so I'm just going to give you a little idea of what we're going to be covering next week. How
okay.
about that?
All right. Let's do that.
There have actually been many accounts. I mean, I'm talking hundreds. Of actually women claiming to have had some kind of sexual encounter with a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, this is what they're saying. I'm not saying that this is truth. I'm telling you what is being said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There is a book by, again, L.A. Marzulli called The Alien Interviews, where he has actually interviewed these women. They don't want any notoriety. They don't want money. They won't give their name. Okay? But he actually interviewed them personally.
Because they need to tell somebody.
They need to talk about
very
it.
Very disturbing.
That's right.
What's happened to them.
Well, it turns out that many of them become pregnant, and they end up bearing children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can say on that. This is what I'm told. But what's interesting is that New Age literature is filled with claims that the world leaders of this New Age that's coming, or this one world government movement, that they're not true humans, but were fathered by spirit guides. Now, you can read about this.
Right. And Genesis 3:15 says Satan has seed or offspring.
Yes,
right?
That word is the same as for offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I just said that to Kevin just a few minutes ago. So something's going on here.
Right, and I think they don't see, these women don't know what's taken them. They don't know if it's a demon or not, or if it's an alien, or if it's a, you know what I mean?
Yes, and we're going to expound on that, because some of them are even saying that they're actually abducted.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And again, we'll be talking about that, and I'm sorry, you know, it's a heavy topic, and I know people aren't going to agree with me. I just want to put some of the evidence out there of testimonies, and then they can come and do what they want.
Yeah, and again, you know, and I'd like to, you know, and I'll ask you why. Why? Why do we want to do this? Why do we want to talk about this subject? It's kind of a subject that's taboo within most churches, right? Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? Are we exposing a lie?
Yes, we're exposing
a lie
that's coming down the pike.
And that's right. We want to expose it because right now.
Well, look at that cherry. What's her name? Perry.
Oh.
That girl that...
Oh, Kate Perry?
Katy Perry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That video that she did. I mean, she's asking for demons to take her.
Or, yeah.
I mean, this is just going on, and we have to know about this.
That's right. That's
right. You know, because these secular people are going to need their questions answered.
Yeah, we want to pull the mask off these aliens because...
Yes, they're just demons.
They're just demons, and that means that our God has power over them. And by extension, we ourselves, being born again, have power over them. I don't have one of those.
Okay.
Only you have one of those. Thank you, our wonderful teacher. Saved my life again.
All right, 1 minute. Let's go.
Okay, is Jesus Lord over your whole life, or do you just have the head knowledge of him? I'm not really heart convinced. Just get on your knees right now and repent.
That's all
you got to do in the name of Jesus. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing.
Hurry.
Shalom.
Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See you this Friday and next Tuesday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word.